know what kind of glorious manifestation the Holy Spirit will have when we worship. It's just always special. It's always unique, and it never gets old. It never gets old. Hey, I'm going to teach you a little song. For Christmas, I wrote Jesus a song, so I thought I'd sing it for you tonight. And Christmas is over, but Jesus is still alive, you know, and he's still wonderful. Every day is a Christmas day for us. So here's my little song in the key of G. This awesome band will follow me because they're Pentecostal. Don't need sheet music if you're Pentecostal. Got the Holy Ghost.
The Lord of Lords, His name is Jesus.
every knee will bow, every name will bow. I know every tongue confess that the Lord of Lords is Jesus. You are high and lifted up. You are high and lifted up. There's no other name above mine. Jesus. Come on, just tell Jesus how much you love him tonight. Come on, just tell him, Jesus, we love you. Everything in our life is about you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. I want to read to you a little prophecy, share with you a little prophecy. This is the year of overflow. Turn to your neighbor and say, overflow. Every cup is going to overflow this year. The cups of iniquity, the cups of righteousness, the cups of glory. There is a filling. But for God's people, this is the year of overflow, just as streams and rivers are overflowing their banks because of the rain that has fallen. The Spirit of God is rising in the hearts of his people, overflowing from us to a dying and dry world, to the deserts of this world. I'm going to heal the broken through the overflow of my love in your life. And you look at me and you say, God, but I am broken, or God, I am hurting, or God, my destiny is not complete. But the Lord says, trust me. I'm going to turn your brokenness into a blessedness. I'm going to turn your pain into power in my kingdom. I'm going to turn the season of misery into a testimony of miraculous conclusion and results. Watch what I do through you. I will feed others through you. I will water others through you. I will flow through you. This is your year to not just have enough, to not just flow in your own grace and see your own needs met. This is the year for an overflow. I will use you. I will flow through you. You will partner with me, and we will bless many, says the Lord. It's time for an overflow. Someone shout overflow. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for your overflow. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, worship team, thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. It's so wonderful. Amen. The presence of the Lord is just wonderful. Can't imagine life without it, certainly not church without it. It is just a glorious thing to be captured every time we pursue him in our worship and our praise. Just for a few moments tonight, I want to share a word from you from John chapter 15. Began a series this month called A Whole Nother Level. It's a grammatically imperfect title, but half of what I say is grammatically imperfect, so I'm not too worried about it. A Whole Nother Level, part 2, John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus is heading toward the cross. He's heading toward his destiny. He's preparing the disciples. These are the most intimate moments and the most intimate heartfelt sentiments pouring forth from the Lamb of God, the Word of God, in these 14, 15, 16 chapter of John. Beautiful, intimate things. And Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine. 8 times in his ministry that I counted, Jesus used the phrase, I am. And it was a for the Jewish people, it had great significance because when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, I am. I am the I am. I am the eternally existent, the all-powerful, the creator of the universe. I am that God. And Jesus said, I want to help you understand who the I am is. And he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Remember that? I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the light of the world. And here's the 8th time. I'm the door of the sheep. And so here, in this verse, he uses his 8 reference to the I am. And he says, I am the true vine. Now, there's so much there. Israel itself was prophesied many times by God to be the vine of God. And so many people attached to their history and through the legacy of the religious importance of their history, they attached themselves to God and said, we were Abraham's sons and daughters, but Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus said, I am where life is. I am how your life attached to me. As branches, you will find the meaning, the significance, the resource of heaven, the grace of a loving God, the mercy and love. You'll find everything that God is connected to Christ by him being the vine. I am the true vine, and my father, my daddy, is the vine dresser. So he's the gardener. He's the one who's taking care, stewarding, protecting, and safeguarding, maturing the plant of the kingdom of God, our lives connected to Christ in his vineyard, every branch in me. So then he says, I'm the vine, you are the branch. Everybody say, I'm a branch. So I'm connected to Christ, who's the source of my life. See, our faith isn't in our faith. Our faith isn't in ourselves. We don't say, I can do all things and just walk up the stage. We say, we can do all things through Christ. Our faith is in Christ. Our faith is in his grace. And we're connected to him. We have life. We have life. And he said, every branch in me, that it will be people that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So let me say 2 things about this. First of all, let me say, if God takes it, you don't need it. If God takes it, you don't need it. So there are many times in life that we misinterpret what's happening because something leaves. And when something leaves, we assume nothing's coming in its place. But whenever you prune a tree, and whenever you take off dead branches, you don't do so to punish the tree. You do to make the tree healthier. And in your journey, both by your own lifestyle, there are some things you don't need, you think you need. There are some things you depend too much on that have taken the place of a relationship with God. And there are some things that are just, that they're negative and they're draining you. And if the Lord takes it or takes them, you don't need them. That doesn't mean we throw people away or give up on people, none of that. It just means when you trust God to run your life, when things happen, you say, okay, look, God, I trust you. Okay, I don't need that. I thought I'd live in that house forever, but I'm whatever's next is going to be great. I thought I'd have this forever. I thought I'd have this relationship. I thought they were my lifelong friends. I guess it's not going to be that way. But what I trust you, Papa. Your instincts are for my good. You want better for me than I want for myself. You know how to make me healthy. And the second part of it is when this is a kind of a little sidetrack, but in the agrarian economy then, even to now, when a vine droops down and falls to the ground, one of the things they would do to make it fruitful, they prop it up. They either tie it up or by sticks, they lift it up. The actual Greek word for takeaway is lift up. I like that because my personal belief is once people are attached to God as branches, they never get unattached. They don't lose their salvation. But to become more fruitful, He looks at the unfruitful people or unfruitful parts of my life, and he prompts, he lifts it up. So I just want to say to you in 2016, God's lifting you up. God's lifting up. The Bible says, lift up the hands that hang down, the knees that are exhausted and wearied. Lift up the heart that's discouraged. Lift up. God's lifting you up. He's going to help you. There are things you think you can't do, you're going to do. Or there are things you think God's forgotten about, he's going to do. He's lifting parts of your life. There are parts of your life that have been unfruitful that God knows how to make fruitful. He knows how to touch them, okay? And every branch now, everybody's included in this one sentence. Every branch that bears fruit, so that should be most of us. So if we're bearing fruit, if we're producing anything at all for Christ, we could talk about the fruit of the Spirit, answered prayers, fulfilled destiny, spiritual activity, the gifts of the Spirit, the kingdom of God, the will of God being done. Bearing fruit, so just doing anything for God, maturing in Christ like this, this is us. We all come under this category. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now here's the secret that you have to get. Subtraction is the season just before multiplication. And so what happens in life is we get some kind of breakthrough. We say, oh, God, that's so good. I'm just so happy, Lord. I'm presenting to you my fruit. Lord, look what I've done. I produced this. I prayed this. Look what's happened. God, I just humbly want to worship you with my fruit. And he comes and he says, okay, I'll take that, and just prunes it away. And our first instinct is, that's not right. It's not right. You take the good stuff away. When Mary and I first moved back to Arizona from Southern California, we rented a house unseen. We moved in the house. It had some beautiful rose bushes up front. So my wife asked me to prune them. So I had on back then a Walkman. I'm listening to, you know, worship tape and that, you know, getting into it. And I'm just pruning away. And I got overly zealous. And so our big, you know, 5-foot rose bush became a little nub. And my wife came outside and she started crying. It made me so sad. But because I've worked a lot with plants, I said, honey, I may have cut everything back, but I promise you this, it's all going to grow back better. And God's my witness, when the springtime came and the plant grew back, the flowers were bigger, the branches were thicker, everything that was pruned back came back better. So what does that mean? God doesn't prune you to punish you. He prunes you to promote you. Yeah, with me. See, you have to really know God in this season, or else you get confused. Hey, what's up, God? You're taking away my good stuff. My friend over there is a jerk. Go take away his bad stuff. How come you're taking away my good stuff? And the Lord says, I'm not punishing you. I'm getting ready to multiply you. Come on. Before a breakthrough, there's always a season of diminishing. There's always a season when things happen, relationally, financially, spiritually. So things just kind of shift and there's a diminishing. And it's important not to misread that season as if God's taking away things he's never going to give back. He prunes it because he's going to give you more. I just want to say to you, if a bunch of you had some pruning experiences in 2015, get ready for some increased fruitfulness in 2016. See, it's important. I kind of grew up in a spiritual environment where we really celebrated the pruning. We're always talking about, Lord, take it all away. And the Lord was, everything was always being taken away. But there was never the expectation preached, taught, or given to us that things would come back. He doesn't take away to take away. He takes away to give you more. In the springtime, when that rose bush began to blossom, the buds were gigantic. And I tried not to say to my wife, told you so, you know. I said, honey, you're not going to believe how big the rose bush was. Because the branches had grown so long and thin, they were exhausted by the time they got to the bud. And now they were stronger. Everything was better. Everything was stronger. God's been laying a foundation, you a strong foundation, getting you ready for multiplication. Okay. Everybody say more fruit. Okay. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So the primary way that God prunes us, that God sanctifies us, and God cleanses us is by his word. His word brings life to me. His word renews my mind. His word transforms me. So for us, make it your quality decision this year. I was talking to someone, they were saying, well, Pastor, I'm so busy. The cool thing, there's a Bible app you can get on your phone for free. And most of the English translations now are in audio file. So you can, you in your car, in your work, you, day and night, you can listen to God's word. Increase your hearing of God's word this year, and God's word will increase your fruitfulness. See, we're cleansed, we're pruned, we're corrected, we're aligned, we're transformed by his word. Verse 4, abide in me. He uses the word abide 10 times in this passage of teaching. It is obviously one of the major themes. Abide. Stay connected to me. Keep living in fellowship, harmony, in relationship with me. Abide in me, okay? And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, we all as Christians go through seasons when we learn that by living that. On both ends, we go through seasons that are fruitless and we realize that we haven't really been connected to Christ the way we should be. And so that we're motivated to get reconnected to God. So that what? We could have more fruit. God made you to be highly successful. That's just another word for fruitful. See, fruitful is a word that we so spiritualize, we just think, well, fruitful, that just means, oh. No, fruitful means being a productive believer. That means your home is blessed, your mind is blessed, your ministry, your business, your life, that you're blessed wherever you go, that you change things, transform things, that God answers your prayers, that you dream big dreams, you're connected to God's purpose, you see what God wants to do and you release it by prayer, that you're obedient to the point of risk-taking, that you're a person that sees things happen. You're made to be a history maker, a world shaker. You're made to be a producer in the kingdom. Okay, verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Everybody shout, much fruit. That's God's will. So interesting. So look at me for a minute. So four things. There was a branch that had no fruit taken away. There was a branch that had fruit. It was pruned. It had more fruit. And then after more fruit, Jesus says, I want you to dream wherever you are in life. You may think you've maxed out what you can do for in your life, your marriage, your business, your ministry. But Jesus said, there's more. You can go to much fruit. Much fruit. What is much fruit? Much fruit is overflow. Where you have enough that you're, like Pastor Mark talked about, what Sherry Katrina is here. And her and her husband, a couple years ago, I was talking about, I had a Macy's adventure with my wife. Now, I go to the mall like twice a year after praying in tongues all day. And I'd gone to there, and so I found this jacket, this exact jacket at Macy's. It was in the $19 rack. I couldn't help myself. I started speaking in tongues and dancing around. Oh, Kamala, Shika, Laba, Sita, Lama. So we took it to the counter, and I said, man, that's the best deal I've ever seen, this leather jacket. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Someone put that in the wrong rack. That's like $140. I said, Macy's. So anyways, I didn't get it. I put it back because I wasn't really, you know. So anyways, I told that story on Sunday, just arbitrarily like that. For some reason, it slipped it into my sermon, just like I slip in your Facebook statuses into my sermons. And so they heard me say that. They went, they found the same Macy's. They went through the rack. They found the exact jacket. They brought it to me the next Sunday. They gave me. Now, I said that to tell you this. This is the year God's going to give you stuff you've given up on. This is the year that you're going to have much fruit. See, there are parts of your life that can't wait to move into the next level. Okay. So no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. These four different levels. For without me, you can do nothing. Everybody say, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Yeah, you can try to be a good wife, good husband, good employer, good, but without Jesus. So Jesus is our connectedness. He's divine. He's our source of life. Amen. We stay connected to Christ, worship and prayer, his word. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. So Jesus said, useless things are cut off from the purposeful meaning and direction of your life and of God's kingdom. And I don't want to exaggerate too much theological implications about other things. I just will say this, that if it's not producing, it's in the way. Now here's what Jesus said, next sentence, next one of my favorite Bible verses. It begins with a condition. He said, if, everybody shout if you abide in me. Now how do we abide in Jesus? We worship him. We pray. We praise. We just keep our minds connected to Christ. We dialogue. We talk to God. If you abide in me, we stay God conscious. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So it's a blend of spirit and truth. So Jesus said, I'm going to show you the secret that God used to make the universe. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Everybody say desire. So much of the church is so afraid of desires. We treat desires as if they're evil. Now, there are evil desires, but desire by itself is a neutral reality. And in the kingdom, God breathes life into it and causes you to have powerful, godly, fiery desire. Most things in the kingdom you can't obtain without passionate desire. So he said, whatever you desire. So here's what I found out. The closer you get to Jesus, the more your desires are his. The more we stop praying what we think God would do, and we ask God what he wants to do, and his desires become our desires. And also, God unlocks inside of us a compartment that you were born with, a destiny compartment. And that compartment is filled with the desire your life is to be before God. What kind of life are you to live? What kind of achievements and destiny and vocations? There's a part of you that the closer you get to God, the more it awakens, the more it unlocks. You'll ask what you desire. Here's the best part. And it shall be done to you. It shall be done for you. The word shall be done is one Greek word, geomene. And geomene means to create something from nothing. To bring something to pass. To form something. So Jesus said, here's how you create a different world. You live in me, and let my words live in you. And what comes out of you will be history-making and world-shaking. You'll say things, you'll pray things, you'll declare things, you'll prophesy things. You'll cry out for things, and those things will come to pass because they were born of a kingdom desire. They were born of the formula of the universe, the spirit and truth, the word of God and the spirit of God colliding and creating something beautiful. You were made to be a transformation agent. Wherever you go, God wants to change things through you. So when God gives you a desire, you know it's a God desire, but when you stay with Jesus, it doesn't go away. And when God gives you these desires, you're not supposed to die with them unfulfilled. Desire has no other function except to lead me into destiny and to fulfill God's will. He's sharing with me something he wants done. I was talking with a pastor today. God gave him a dream about having thousands of members in his church. And he says, "Pastor, do you think this is from God?" I said, "Yeah. The devil wouldn't give you desire for reaching thousands of people for Jesus. That's not from the devil. Get behind me." No, that's not from the devil. God put it there. "Are you sure, Pastor?" Yeah. Go for it. Believe for your whole city. He said, "God told me to believe for a tenth of my city." I said, "Yeah. Why not? If you stay close to Jesus and you keep pouring his word into you, you'll keep prophesying, declaring, you'll keep praying things that the devil can't stop from happening. You'll create a different world." Isn't that awesome stuff? Some people say, "Well, Pastor, I'm in this really dark place. I work with all these really dark things. It's really oppressive there." What do you have to say? Awesome. We don't need to all work in Christian businesses. We all don't need to go to Christian everything that we are segregated from the world. If it's dark, they need you to shine. Get in there and change it. "Oh, Pastor, there's warlocks and witches there." Ah, that's even better. Get in there and stir it up, baby. Get in there and prophesy love on them. Amen. Just anoint the building with whatever you got to do. Just tell the devil he can't have them. So Jesus said, now, heading toward a really conclusive narrative about these things, about the vine abiding with branches, the fruit. He said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." You're supposed to be fruity. Much fruit. So this is your year for more fruit, and this is your year to grow into much fruit. Okay? God the Father is glorified when I produce what I was made and purposed for. There's all kinds of things. Okay, I got to help you. There's inventions here tonight. There's dreams, family callings buried beneath disappointments and dysfunction and pain and darkness that God says, there's all kinds of opportunities in you. If you'll just get close to me, those things will start surfacing up and you'll start praying wild things, believing for things that you didn't even know you could do, that you're called to do really good. It's not too late to find out your destiny. It's not too late to dream another dream. It's not too late to become the most fruitful you've ever been. Papa God is glorified by our fruit. So will you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father's loved me, I also have loved you. Everybody shout, "I'm loved." Think about the quality of love between Father and Son in the Trinity. And Jesus said, the same caliber, quality, the same glory that transfers between the Papa and me, transfers between me and you. It's God's love, agape love. Abide in my love. Now he's advancing. How do I stay connected to Jesus walking in love? You're never more like Jesus than when you love people. You're never more like Jesus than when you love unlovely people or difficult to love people, the people you're praying God would take away. God, prune my branch, take these people away, help me, God. Abide in my love. It's easy. Listen, it's easy for us. It takes a while. Sometimes people come to God. We all come to God broken. Sometimes people have a hard time receiving God's love, but God's so persistent and consistent. He wants you to get it. He never gets tired of telling you he loves you. You with me? I told my wife today, almost 38 years of marriage, I told her today I loved her. I didn't think, you think she'd know it by now, God. We've been married 10,000 days, whatever it is. It was longer than that. No, I don't get tired of telling it. She don't get tired of hearing it. Amen? Our hearts were made to hear it, and God doesn't. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, Jesus, you will abide in my love. Now, he said in chapter 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, the joy of Jesus, the happiest person that ever lived on this planet was Jesus. You cannot find in religious art a happy Jesus face. You can't find, especially in the Renaissance, and you can't find because there was such a seriousness, a soberness around, Jesus. But Jesus was the happiest person that ever lived. Well, I don't believe that. Jesus said, it's my joy. It's the joy of God. It's joy. Jesus was happy. Let me help you. God's in a good mood. Okay? He's always in a good mood when it comes to you. Now, I'm generally an optimistic person, and you know, but man, you want to turn my joy switch, just send my grandkids over to me. Woo-hoo! They awaken something in me, and something in the heart of God is awakened toward you. My joy, Jesus said, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now notice the subtle little transfer. He said, it was my joy until I gave it to you. And now you are the steward. It's your joy. So that's so significant because your happiness isn't dependent on your own person. It's dependent on Jesus' joy. I have the joy of Jesus inside of me. And Jesus said, I want your joy full. I want it to remain in you. Everybody say that I'm going to be happy this year. Say, I'm going to be joyful this year. In spite of who you live with or who you work with or whatever, because of Jesus. I have his joy. No reason. You don't need a reason when you got the person. You don't need a circumstantial connection to joy when you have Jesus. My joy, Jesus said, is yours. Okay. He wants our joy full. What full joy means what? Full joy is joy that affects your person, affects your behavior, and affects your physical action. So, full joy is when you can't help but smile. Remember years ago, I was working at ITT Courier here in Tempe, and all day long I was whistling. I didn't realize. I was just worshiping God and so joyful. And finally, at 4:50, almost at 5 at the closing of the day, the woman stood up next to me and says, I appreciate you being so happy, Mike, but don't you know a different song? Apparently, I kept whistling the same song. So, full joy is joy that has to find an expression through behavior. Laughter. A merry heart does good like medicine. See, God, your body responds to joy by initiating health. It affects your nervous system. It affects your mind. It affects the chemicals in your body. When you're happy, when you laugh, your body says, oh, man, has a party. Responds positively to joy and full joy. Dance in joy. I pray this year some of you that have never danced get so much joy, something just starts to, what's going on down there? I've never danced in church before, but my body just, there's just, I'm just overflowing in joy this year. I don't know what's going on. So Jesus said, greater love, verse 13, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now who was he talking about there? Himself. He said, boys, I'm going to the cross for you. I want to show you by my example the pinnacle expression of love, giving my life for others. It is profound in so many ways. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. Now, I'm done with this. I want you to get this. No longer do I call you servants, Greek word slaves, okay? For a servant, a slave, does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all things, say with me, all things. So God's not holding anything back from you that Jesus died to give you and the Word of God reveals to you. You can have it all. All things that I've heard from the Father, I've made known, revealed to you. So Jesus said, now get this. This is your year for a friendship with God to develop deeper. And for you to shift gears. Maybe you come from an environment, experience, a religious tradition where everything is kind of, there's a distance between you and God. You love God, but you feel like, you know, he's likening servants. It's okay to serve as long as in your heart you know you're a son. The problem is, it's hard to turn servants into sons when they think they're not allowed to be friends with God. Abraham was God's friend. He told him things he was going to do. See, the difference is this. The servant does things he's required to. The friend knows what's going on. No, Moses knew the ways of God, the children of Israel, the acts of God. So friends know the heart of God, why God's doing things, why God is moving in a certain way, what God is doing. They know the why. It's important to know the why. You did not choose me, King James, you have not chosen me. But I have chosen you and appointed, ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you that you love one another. So let me close with this. You're chosen. You're chosen. So we get the word eclectic from the Greek word for chosen. It means to find something you really want. And say, I want that. My wife is a very specific shopper. And so what I found out when we were first married, I'd buy her stuff. She'd take it back and get what she wanted. So I've just shortened the circle. Now we just give her the money. Honey, happy birthday. Here's the money. Why should I waste time buying something you don't want? You take it back. Unless you tell me exactly where it's hanging on the rack. Unless you draw me a picture walking through the mall, and I can't, here, honey, I love you, happy birthday. So to be chosen means something was wanted, God wouldn't do without you. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You are chosen. You have to get this. God wanted you. You didn't stumble to Christ. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. He called out your name. He named you. He declared you as that you were his. You are mine. He chose you. And when he chose you, he gave you a life, a purpose, a destiny, a dream, a fruitful outcome, a successful journey. He put together this package called your life. It's all inside of you. You're chosen to bear fruit. You're ordained to bear. So of all the times in history, I believe that my birth is from God. That my parents are just the delivery mechanism God used to get me into the earth. You have to get over it. So if your parents were imperfect, everyone's parents are imperfect. You have to get past that and just be glad you're here. And you're here for a reason. You're chosen. It's not an accident. You're chosen. And so as a chosen person, the devil can't stop you. The devil, see, when God chose you, he ordained you to overcome. He anointed you to succeed, to be fruitful. And there's something about your calling, your chosenness that God's ready to awaken. He wants you to feel the great expectation of destiny. We're a chosen generation. You could have been born in the Middle Ages when there was a dark season of spiritual oppression. You could have been born before Christ, when everything was shadows and types and there was no manifestation of God in the earth except in a little box. You could have been chosen, but you were chosen for now. God saved the best for the last. You're the last. You're the best. You're chosen for this time in history. You're a chosen generation. You're a Joshua generation. You're more than conquerors. You're the beautiful bride, the revelation generation. You're alive for a reason. And God wants you to come in contact, familiarity. The friendship with God is going to awaken the destiny that you were born to live because you're chosen. I'm chosen, Jesus. No matter who doesn't want me, you wanted me. No matter who gave up on me, you haven't. No matter what kinds of obstacles I've faced, you're always with me. Because I'm chosen. I'm chosen. And when the fire burns, I'm chosen. It can't take me out. And when the waters rise, I'm chosen. They can't destroy me. And when adversity comes, I'm chosen. I'll make it through it. And when my friends leave, I'm chosen. I survive the failure of people. I survive the failure of my own walk with God. I'm chosen. The steps of a good man, a chosen man, are ordained from God. When he falls, the Lord lifts him up. Someone shout, I'm chosen. That's right. You're chosen. You're predestined. You're in the heart and mind of God, and he spoke out of his mouth who you are. And God says, I didn't just choose you to live. I choose to live through you. I have a destiny appointed for you. I'm chosen. Come on, stand your feet and give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever gone somewhere or done something, and in that moment you felt as if you'd been there before? In the world, they call that what? Deja vu. It's a French word for, I guess, being there twice or coming there again. In the kingdom, it's called destiny. When you step into something you were made for, it feels like you've always had it. It feels at home. Wow. This is your year to step into things you were made for. This is your year to step into arenas of life, anointings, purposes, and destinies you were created for. Prayer team, would you join me down front? Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Just for a moment longer, worship the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you and praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, God's in control. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God will never allow a person to have power over your purpose. God will never allow a people the authority to deny or destroy your destiny. You're chosen in him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness, your kindness. Thank you, God, for your joy. A joyful year. A joyful season. I thank you for your joy, joy, joy. Just say the word joy. Lord, thank you, God, for your joy, Jesus, you've given me. Thank you for your abiding spirit. Thank you for your living word. Thank you for the desires you put in my heart. As we close tonight, a couple of things. If you're here tonight, and if you've never received friendship with God and the love of God through the person of Jesus, Jesus was a real historic person. He lived 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross, and he died on a cross not because people put him there, it's because God put him there. And God put him there so he would collect the sins of the world and put him on his son. The Lord has put on him, Isaiah 53, the iniquity of us all. And if we open our hearts to that God who died for us, who gave a son for us, he wants a friendship, a relationship with us. If you've never received friendship with God, tonight's your night. Number two, if you've been away from God for any reason, this is your year, the beginning of this new year, to reconnect with God. We want to pray for you. If you've been going through an intense season of difficulty, and some things have been taken from your life, or you're going through a storm, and it's had a withering and weakening effect in your life, we're going to pray the prayer of faith tonight. I'm proud of you for overcoming and making it to church. If you've been going through a difficult, some of you have had a horrible day, and you made it to church, and you're ending in victory. Because you did. We want to pray for you. If you have a physical need, a physical issue, the Bible says that by the stripes that Jesus were healed. And then we're exhorted in the New Testament to pray and lay hands upon the sick. Pray the prayer of faith and they will recover. We'd like to pray for you. If that's you, would you come forward? Let us pray for you. Anybody that wants prayer, let me prophesy over a few people while they're coming forward for prayer. Come down and get it. God's going to touch you right now in this room. Thank you, Jesus. I've been preparing you. I've been getting your heart ready. I've been awakening things inside of you. God says, I'm anointing you for this season, not just to have joy, not just to have fulfillment, but that you might find destiny in step with my purpose. Two eagles flying, soaring together. And I'm awakening inside of you things, spiritual things, dynamic things, life-bringing things that are going to affect many people's lives. I'm giving you a voice. Your voice will be heard. I'm giving you a scepter of grace and righteousness to release my kingdom. And I'll do great things, God says. This is a season when I'm getting you ready for the great things you were born for. I've got it under control. The Lord says, Ms. Roxanne, I've got it all under control. Your whole life, one thing after another, you've overcome so many things. They didn't think you'd make it out of that thing some 18 years ago, but you made it out. They said you wouldn't make it out of that last thing, but you made it out. I've been with you. I've helped you rise and overcome. I've made you a warrior. I've made you strong to see my prophetic purpose in the earth. And I am now with you to fulfill my purpose. God says, suddenly a bursting forth, a dam is breaking, a river is flowing, desires are coming, and I'm releasing a ministry to the nations. Akamos, Oloma, Dala, Masa, many things, many things, many things, many things, many great things, hidden things, and muddy things. The ones that no one wants, the ones that no one's afraid to touch. I'm loosening upon you a grace to reach, a grace to repair, a grace to redeem. And I'm going to do great things. Like God says, in one day, I'm going to put three properties in your hands, three resources in your life to accomplish my purpose in many nations, in many cities, many places, says the Lord. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. We love you, God. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus.
Come to the water, all who are thirsty. Come and drink.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Worship Jesus.
Come to the table, all who are hungry.
Wonderful Jesus.
Taste and see. Those who are weary, those who are needy, come. Come to the river, all who are thirsty, taste and see.
We worship you, Lord. We worship you and praise you.
Come to the river.
God's healing someone's kidney.
All who are thirsty.
Someone here has kidney.
Taste
kidney disease.
And see.
And your kidney is at a low, like a 15, 13%. Thank you, Jesus, for a miracle tonight. In the name of Jesus. God, I loosen the full function. Mrs. McCray's kidney, the moment I touch her, I loosen a miracle to her body. Thank you, God. With long life, you'll satisfy her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm not going to fail you now. I didn't fail you then. I was with you then. I'm with you now. I'm renewing your strength like an eagle, and I'm strengthening you for the season of your life. I have you in my hands, and no one can pluck you from them. Thank you, Father. Loving God. Lord, I keep praying for people. If you need to go, I love you. Bring someone to church with you Sunday. Have an awesome rest of your week. You can stay here as long as you want to. We're going to keep praying and worshiping. God bless you. If you're leaving, tell someone Jesus loves them.